Welcome to DG's Courtroom, brought to you by No Halftime. No Halftime is a DFS app that allows you to play one-on-one fantasy contests. Use promo code BBALL100 to get a deposit bonus worth up to $100. You can download the No Halftime app on the Apple Store or Amazon.com. This episode of DG's Courtroom is also sponsored by Draft, a daily fantasy app where your chances of winning are almost three times better than on FanDuel or DraftKings. On Draft, it's draft day every day. You can do a simple snake draft for one day whenever you want. Drafts take just minutes to complete. Download Draft now. Be sure to enter the promo code DFBPOD when you download to get a 100% deposit bonus. And with that, we are off. Welcome to the show for Monday, January 2nd, 2017. An awesome 8-game slate for Monday. Happy New Year to all you guys. Man, this slate's a lot of fun. Pick a superstar, and he is playing on the slate. We got Anthony Davis, LeBron, the two probably best players in DFS, Westbrook and Harden. It's superstar-studded. It's fantastic. It's glorious. And it's the perfect amount of games, if you ask the judge. It's only 8 games, so enough. You know, there's enough games where it's easy to differentiate our lineups, but yet also not too many games. So, you know, we're not inundated with information, with data, with analytics, enough games that we can analyze them properly. Hopefully the podcast, DG Courtroom, will get you off to a good start. You go on and achieve glory on Monday evening. It's 3:30 in the morning, so the usual time for the podcast to be gearing up. I feel good. I got my smoothie here. I got my gavel. I'm ready for the new year to have a good run in the new year and make lots of money and have lots of fun. Okay. Before we dive into all of the important stuff, who to play, who not to play, Chambers, first, very important that we rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast. We need to dominate the rankings. You guys know this. Currently, we are outside of like a fishing show, like a canoe show. It is embarrassing. I look at the iTunes top 50 and I cry every day. The bailiff tries to console me. It does not work. So let's, if you guys really could, rate and review and subscribe to the podcast. And I am dead serious. I think we're behind a fishing show, which, I mean, I don't want to insult anyone. Maybe some of you guys fish out there. I mean, I think I tried to fish once when I was, I don't know, like a teenager or someone took me on a fishing, and I was, I don't have the patience for it. Not my thing. But a fishing podcast, we should be able to beat that, right? You would think. Anyway, rate, review, subscribe to the podcast. And let the judge know. If you let the judge will try to do something for you. I don't know what, but I will. Also, please download the app Draft. Big week, meeting with the big wigs at Draft to see if they want to continue on with the podcast. Hopefully they will. But if they don't, that means you listeners have been disobeying the judge, and I will have to maybe sequester you. Maybe hold you in contempt of court. Maybe deny you chambers access. I don't know what the judge would do. But let's all download the app Draft. Make sure you use the promo code DFBPOD when you download. That really does mean a lot. Support the show. Support the podcast. You know, I mean, we want more shows. Then we got to support the sponsors. All right. Enough of me yapping about that stuff. I know you guys don't want to hear that. Let's talk about premium services, a consultation with the judge. Oh, man, I should have mentioned this about doing this for the holidays, right? What better gift could there be than a 30-minute phone call with the judge? I mean, that if you talk about true glory, that is it, my friends. So if you guys still want to do that, I'm trying to only do one a day, but I might up it to two a day just because we're starting to get a waiting list for that. And, I mean, I actually enjoy doing them. I just wish I had more time in the day. They're a lot of fun, and you know, on the podcast we go over most, you know, the slate, who we're going to play that day for the most part, along with some other stuff. The phone call is all about you. It's all about how you want to get better, and we go a lot more in depth about strategy, about what contest to enter, lineup construction, all the good stuff. And you know, so far I'm getting good feedback, and I'm still keeping in touch with the people who have done the consults, and they seem to be getting better. You know, if you want to do one of those, please hit me up on Twitter at Daniel A. Green 1, or go to the website dgcourtroomdfs.com and email me via that way. Because some of you actually don't have Twitter, I've learned. At first, I thought that you couldn't exist without Twitter, but no, it's happened. I mean, there's, you know, I don't know if I'd say hundreds, but definitely dozens. I know there's at least dozens who don't have Twitter accounts. So I would recommend if you're playing DFS, you obviously get a Twitter handle and follow. I mean, I don't know how you keep up with injury news without it, but some of you are doing it. So kudos to you. All right. Chambers, I got to update the Chambers power rankings. I hope to do that on Monday sometime and unleash the new power rankings. Wow, you guys may be surprised. There's some new people getting very close to breaking in of the power rankings. And just for a quick reminder, Chambers is a daily tournament that we run. It's really got some of the best people in all of DFS playing in my daily tournaments. We usually run three Chambers tournament, 20 people each, $2 to enter. The demand's over 200 a day. It's super hard. I get over 100 DMs a day about from people trying to get in. So I try to you know, help out the newbies. If you haven't played Chambers yet, I try to let the newbies in first. But it's hard. So, I mean, some days what I try to do is I just tweet out the link, and then everyone has an equal chance to get in. And usually I will tweet out the link around 5 p.m. Eastern time. But feel free to, you know, tweet me, holler at me somehow during the course of the day if you do want to try to get in. And I do the best I can. But some days, because, you know, at work, sometimes at work I'm not able to check my phone for hours at a time. Sometimes I will not see your DM. And, you know, I'm just going to have to tweet out the link. And you hope you get in. I mean, there's a good chance you might not be able to play on Chambers every day. But hopefully, you know, you're able to make it most days. All right. Chambers for Sunday? Yeah, I guess Sunday. The holidays will throw me off. For Sunday, the judge slammed the door on two of them, took down two Chambers, and the judge took down two Chambers on New Year's Eve on Saturday. I've had to up my game in Chambers. I've noticed all of you young guns, your young, I can't think of a good nickname for your youngins, your newbies, whatever new terminology. I need to come up with a nickname for all you guys. But man, the competition in Chambers is fierce. The judge has taken notice. I had to up my game in Chambers lately, and I've actually spent a lot more time. I used to just put in, you know, a GPP entry for my kind of Chambers lineup and didn't really think too much of it. And now, like, I mean, basically the most important tournament of my night, which, you know, is typically could be a $100 single entry tournament or $150 single entry tournament, something like that. Like, that's the lineup typically I'm throwing in Chambers right now. So I'm taking my good time and focus on Chambers because you guys are good, man. The competition is stiff and the judge has trained you well. But I did not win all three on Sunday. Justin P94 got the highest. He not only did he beat me in one of the Chambers, he got the highest score of the night. And his Twitter name is @can'tbelieveitsnot. I don't know what he can't believe it's not. I guess is you can't believe it's not butter. Is that still a thing? But that's the Twitter handle. Can't believe it's not. But Justin P94 put up a score of 341, a really good score for the five game slate on Sunday. Sunday was a fun slate, but there was a pretty high scoring slate because some chalk plays like Kyle Lowry went nuts and I had over 50 FanDuel points. So, but congrats to him, and this is his first cash and first win of the year. So congrats. Dream Killers, lots of Dream Killers, lots of Dream Lovers as well though on Sunday. The Dream Killers, if you played Karl Anthony Towns, you easily still could have cashed, but you probably didn't win any big money. That's because my boy Miles Turner, who I played in Chambers and in a lot of tournaments, had over 44 FanDuel points. And Drummond took advantage of Miami. You know, Miami basically had five bums on the court, or four bums with Jason Richardson or Josh Richardson. Actually, James Johnson's not a bum either, man. That guy's been balling out of his mind lately. So Drummond had a 50 burger FanDuel points, and Karl Anthony Towns had like 33, and that's not going to cut it. You can't be 9K, have 33 FanDuel points, and have two other, you know, relatively cheap centers go off for 50 . So Karl Anthony Towns, dream killer. But I will say this, in watching the games, keep an eye on, you know, the mad scientist Terry Stotts. He's done this now to two kind of superstars lately. He did this to LaMarcus Aldridge on the night he killed us all, which I think was Thursday. I don't know, either Thursday or Friday. And he did it to Carl Anthony Towns too. He basically double teamed them every time they touched it and would not let them get off shots. So that's why, I mean, the game where Portland played the Spurs and LaMarcus Aldridge when Kawhi was out and Aldridge got three shots, that's right, three in 29 minutes. It's because he was double teaming them every time. And Aldridge could not get a shot off at all, And that's basically, he employed a similar strategy to Towns. It wasn't as focused, but still, I mean, he made life tough on Towns and he let other people shoot. So that's one reason why Towns didn't have that good of a fantasy point production night. Thaddeus Young, though, was also a dream killer, just didn't do enough. And that, you know, what should have been a high paced game, I thought Thaddeus Young would have given me 25. I think he ended up with like 16 or 18. If you played Tyler Johnson, he did okay. But the problem was you can't have another point guard at the same price outperform you. And Reggie Jackson was a little bit cheaper. I think it had about eight or maybe no. I think Tyler Johnson had 24, 26 FanDuel points. And I think Reggie Jackson had about 36. So, yeah, if you played Tyler Johnson, you probably did not have a great night. DeMar DeRozan, the reason he's a dream killer is because if you played him, you probably didn't get a chance to play what's the name from Portland's CJ McCollum. CJ McCollum put up 50. DeMar did fine, put up like 39 FanDuel points. But again, you can't, if the top price player, you can't have, you know, someone about $1,000, $2,000 cheaper than you go off for a 50 burger, then you will be a dream killer if that happens. Marcus Morris for Detroit, no, just a disaster. 8 FanDuel points, something like that. Luol Deng, he was my soul crusher, even though I only used him in 2 lineups. I used him in one of my really, really high entry fee, single entry tournaments where I missed the cash line by maybe 4 or 6 points. And that was because Luol Deng gave me an 8. And basically all day long, I was going to play Evan Turner. Would have done that. Would have cashed easily. And Evan Turner's my boy too. So I'm not pleased at that. I mean, Luol Deng, he needs to take a new injection of steroids. I don't understand how you can be like the most consistent player in the NBA for like a 2-3 week stretch. And then you just all of a sudden stick. I mean, it's not like you go from being good to average. You go from being like really good to being like really, 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 really crappy. Like the worst player in the NBA. It's just, it's so frustrating. So, I mean, Luol Deng will no longer be in my cash game lineups until further notice. What a piece of crap. The reverse Benjamin Button is back. John Lure, yeah, another Detroit guy, did not go well. Jeff Teague. He ended up with 30, but at his price, that and with guys like Reggie Jackson outperforming and Tony Parker outperforming him, yeah, Jeff Teague, it was a dream killer tonight. Zach LaVine didn't do enough. Alfred Payton, if you tried to get cute going Alfred Payton, did not do enough. Ricky Rubio, I mean, like, I didn't watch this entire game, but I watched the entire fourth quarter, and he was, like, not on the court at all. I mean, down the stretch, it was the rookie Dunn was on the court. So I'm not sure if Rubio just got benched or what, but he was horrendous. And then if you try to get cute and punt center with Showtime Reed of the Miami Heat, because Whiteside was out, which I did in one lineup, that didn't pan out. Even though he started off the first half pretty well, and then the second half, they didn't really play him too much. He got in a little bit of foul trouble against Drummond. Dream Lovers, Kyle Lowry. It's going to suck soon because Kyle Lowry's price is going to keep rising, and I'm not going to be able to play him anymore because of his usage rate. You know the judge. What does the judge love? Say it back to me. Pace and usage. That's right. I mean, right now, Kyle Lowry, his usage is just not high enough. I was just looking at it before the show. I mean, it's 24.5%, and that's 43rd in the NBA. DeMar DeRozan, meanwhile, is a third in the NBA with 34% usage rate. At one point late in the fourth quarter, Kyle Lowry was 10 for 14 from the field, and DeMar DeRozan was 10 for 24 from the field. It's just super frustrating because Lowry put up, had over 50 FanDuel points. Lowry was terrific. But the problem is if his price gets even close to 10K, how can I ever play him over John Wall when John Wall's usage rate is like 10 percentage points higher? It's going to be super hard to keep playing Lowry if the price keeps rising, unless his usage rate goes up, which it should. But DeMar DeRozan, I don't see him passing anytime soon. Tony Parker, this reverse Benjamin Button came up with like 33 FanDuel points. I know that Chambers winner, Justin P94, played him. I didn't play him at all, but he was in almost every winning GPP lineup. D'Angelo Russell went nuts. Actually, take that back, because D'Angelo Russell was in most of the winning, like, you know, he's in, like, most of the winning GPP lineups. A lot of the single entry tournaments, though, I saw Parker in some of the winning lineups. But D'Angelo Russell had over 40 FanDuel points. He was terrific. Remember, what does he have that the judge loves? He has a super high, close to 30% usage rate. And that's why for tournaments, Russell is always in play for me. CJ McCollum was fantastic, over 50 FanDuel points. KCP, he was really good, and he outperformed Josh Richardson. And no one played KCP. Everyone played Josh Richardson. They both had good games, but KCP had a better one, and he was so low owned. Dream Lover, of course, Ronda Rousey's twin sister, LaMarcus Aldridge, put up a 50 burger after his. I don't remember how many FanDuel points he gave us on Thursday or Friday with those three shots. Was it like 16 or something? But whatever it was, he got 50 tonight. Go figure. Kawhi Leonard, also a dream killer. I didn't even mention him, that buster. I mean, what is this illness that he has too? Remember when the judge was ill? What did I miss? One podcast, and I was back the next day. This is like the third, like a week now. Kawhi can't deal with this, like, gastroenteritis, whatever he has, with like a stomach issue. Unbelievable. He sucked tonight. Paul Millsap had a 50 burger. Interesting to see that he might be getting traded. I'm not sure if I believe that or not, but I guess he's going to be a free agent at the end of the year, and he probably doesn't want to sign in Atlanta. So there's a lot. A ton of teams would love to get a guy like Millsap. Waffle House Julius Randle had over 40 FanDuel points. Man, at some point, like late in the middle of the fourth quarter, I think he was like 0-for-6 from the field. But he did a lot of other things on the court and got a ton of free throws, and he ended up with 40 FanDuel points. Miles Turner, I played him in the Slam and in Chambers. He was like 5% owned, and he had a really good game against Vucevic. I love attacking Orlando centers. I mentioned Drummond against the Miami Busters. It was so annoying though, because Drummond is the guy who cost me the most money more than anyone all year, and I saw him late in the fourth quarter like do a shimmy. He got an alley-oop dunk against someone like 5'8", 8 feet tall, and then did like a shimmy move. And I threw my gavel at the TV, and I hurt my gavel, and I scared the bailiff. I hate Drummond. He's been so bad this year. What a joke. James Johnson for Miami. Dude, he's good. I mean, man, he was probably Miami's best player tonight. Or him or Wayne Ellington. I don't know if anyone played Wayne Ellington. I mean, I didn't see him in any winning lineups, but he went nuts for Miami. Evan Turner, I have him down here just because he was probably one of the best cheaper small forwards, and then he had three times as many points as Luol Deng. And Nick Young, who I didn't play at all, I think he had like 8 3-pointers. He's always a good tournament play because of the he takes so many 3-pointers, and if he gets hot, he can win you a tournament. All right, injury news for the sweet, sexy slate on Monday. Matthew Dellavedova is doubtful with a hamstring. Thank God. I don't ever want to see Dellavedova play again because I love Brogdonovich. I don't even think his name is Brogdonovich. Is it? It's Brogdon, whatever. The rookie who's a second round pick for the Bucks is awesome, and I cannot wait to play him again on Monday. Had a triple double over the weekend. I don't see Dellavedova ever starting again for the Bucks, quite honestly. I mean, he shouldn't. Kyrie Irving, this is a big one for the day. Kyrie Irving right now is questionable with a hamstring. I hope that he is out. But, you know, obviously if he's out, LeBron and Kevin Love are elite plays. If he's in, LeBron and Love are good plays. But when you have a slate with like six superstars, you know, then it's much easier to fade those guys. Dante Exum and George Hill are both out for Utah. So, God, Mac Daddy is still going to get some serious minutes, although he's played like crap lately. Kylo Quinn is dealing with an illness. He's questionable. Can Noah give us another 40-point FanDuel point night on Monday? I don't know. We'll see. Evan Fournier is still questionable with a right heel contusion. And then you got the two more got Knicks guys. The Porzingis and Carmelo are both questionable. Porzingis with an Achilles and Carmelo with a sore left knee. And Courtney Lee as well with the wrist. So you have all the Knicks guys. I mean, over the weekend, if you watch that game where Harden put up 90 FanDuel points, I mean, it was I guess it depends if you have Harden or not. It depends if you played Harden and Giannis in the same lineup. In me, most of my I think I went Giannis 80% and Harden 20% that night. And so I'm watching the Bucks destroy the Bulls for like the third time this year. And it was funny. I mean, Jimmy Butler is guarding Giannis, and Giannis is making him look like a junior varsity player in a high school. It was just amazing. Giannis is so good. He's dominating that game. Has ended up with like over 70 FanDuel points. And I'm like, all right, this is fantastic. I made the right move. I faded Harden. I went Giannis. And then, you know, the first quarter of the Houston Knicks game. Well, first of all, you see Hornacek starts Brandon Jennings and Derrick Rose as his two guards. So why you would start two midgets who can't play defense and haven't played defense their entire lives? It was the most idiotic move ever. So Harden gets super comfortable, ends up putting like 35 FanDuel points in like the first quarter, and ends up with like 90 for the game. And somehow the Knicks kept that close. And so Harden ended up playing like almost 40 minutes. It was just, so if you played Harden that night, you were loving life. But it was just, it was a crazy game. But so on Monday, if Melo, Porzingis, and actually in that game, Melo started and then didn't play in the second half. So it was just a disaster for the Knicks. But Brandon Jennings went nuts. He'll be another good play on Monday. Also, my boy Justin Holiday, who's, man, he's so talented. He'll be a really good play, as will the one-trick pony, the ball hog, the most morally corrupt person, I think, that I hate right now in the NBA, Derrick Rose, will be in play on Monday. Also, Bradley Beal, ankle injury questionable. Patrick Beverley, wrist injury questionable. Chris Paul, hamstring, doubtful. So, man, lots of news. Remember, be watching the news all day long, especially before lineup lock. Lots going on Monday. It's gonna make for a fascinating, not only just slate in general, but the last hour. I'm probably going to be pretty hectic, as I'm sure there's going to be some more late news that's going to break as well. All right, let's quickly go to the over-unders. Now, there's a lot that are not up because of all the injury news. Like, obviously, you can't have a Knicks over-under yet because there's like four guys for that team that potentially might be out. Of the games that we have out, Oklahoma City at Milwaukee. This is the Westbrook Giannis matchup. Just so beautiful. Cannot wait to watch this game. 211 over-under. The Bucks are favored by two. It's such a good game. Then you got Denver Golden State, which is the highest over-under of the night, 227.5. But Golden State's favored by 14.5. And I mean, I think you guys know my strategy by now with Golden State, right? I mean, even though, look, this slate is so juicy and tasty, I'm not going to, in no way in cash games or any, I don't even think in single entry tournaments, quite honestly, am I going to waste any of my salary on the Golden State guys. God only knows which one's going to go off. I mean, I guess it'd be Durant if one does, but whatever. I mean, if you want to play them in tournaments, absolutely. Play all the Warriors, all the Nuggets you want in tournaments. But, you know, in cash games and in single entry, I even though the over-under is so appealing, not for me probably. And then you got Utah and Brooklyn, 203 over-under. You know, slowest team in the league, playing the fastest team in the league in pace. Pretty interesting. So maybe some Utah guys that I wouldn't normally look to will be in play. I mean, yeah, that's they'll be low owned, I think. Charlotte, Chicago, man, the Charlotte Batums up against the Rondoless Bulls. Another man. There's a lot of good games I actually want to watch as well. 203 over under. So that, I mean, right now it's tough with all these injury news, man. I wish I'm still waiting on four over unders. All right, let's jump into the plays because I feel like I spent too much time in the opening, and we have so many plays to go over. All right, here we go. Point guard, Russell Westbrook. The good news for Westbrook is, I don't know if you guys remember this. It was a long time ago. I think it may have been almost a week ago. He was 13K. Now he's down to 11.8K. Because he had that 25 FanDuel point net, you know, versus Memphis, and then he only had 55 FanDuel points against the Clippers on Saturday. But it was a blowout. He only played 29 minutes. He would have had 70, maybe even 80, if he would have played a full game. So this is a super fair price. And I mean, the problem here is that you have everyone in the world is playing on Monday, basically. All the stars. So do you have to go Westbrook and cash? No, you do not. But with that said, I think I'm still going to do it. I mean, as of right now, there's enough value on the board where you can do it. And right now I still am leaning towards doing it, but you clearly do not have to. And in single entry tournaments and in tournaments, I will be fading him a decent amount, but he, as always, Westbrook is still an elite play, but he is, I still have him as the top play on the board out of all the superstars for Monday, even over Harden. John Wall is next, 9.7K. I mean, I love me some Wall. I love the fact that Wall has the seventh highest usage rate in the NBA, 31.2%. I do not like the fact that, well, I guess we're still waiting on Patrick Beverley news, right? So if Patrick Beverley is playing, that will definitely, I think, hurt Wall's value a little bit. Could impact him, maybe 5 to 10 FanDuel points, and that's going to be a big difference on this slate. You cannot, I mean, whichever point guards you do pick, you cannot have them, you know, be a dream killer for you on Monday. So if Beverly is out, then we're going to get Wall in a fast-paced game against Houston where the over-under wasn't up yet. But, I mean, it's got to be around 215, 218 over-under. And I don't know. I have no idea who would even be guarding Wall. If it would be, you know, I guess sometimes they're starting Corey Brewer right now if Beverly's out. So, yeah, if Beverly is out, I may switch off of Westbrook and get Wall $2,000 cheaper. To attack a Beverly-less Houston team. Either way, I'll still play Wall in some tournaments. Let's see. Steph Curry, 8.2K. Whatever. I don't want to touch Curry. He's 8.2K. It's dirt cheap. So in tournaments, absolutely. But I don't trust it right now because – I mean, there's nothing to trust. I mean, watch them play. I mean, the last, let's see, 27, 45, 26, the last three games. If he ends up giving me, let's say, 30 FanDuel points, that would be a disaster for Monday, especially if I play him over a guy like a John Wall or a Westbrook. Yeah, I just can't do it. Tournaments only. Eric Bledsoe, 7.6K. So he's going to get some, you know, one, the price has fallen. Two, he's going to go super low owned. Three, he's going to get some fat Raymond Felton defense, some Waffle House Felton, or some Buster Austin Rivers, who's one of the worst defenders in the NBA. Bledsoe, you know, 29th best usage rate in the NBA with a, 27.2. Not elite, but it's okay. It's another guy that I probably will not use in cash. I don't think I want to even go there in a single entry. But he's been 40 and 45 the last two games, and the 40 was against Utah. So, you know, I mean, if you want to use him in like a single entry or differentiate lineups, you could do it. I mean, I probably won't. But for me, it would be large tournaments only. Kemba Walker of the Charlotte Batums, 7.4K. So the Kemba's gotten a little bit better the last two games, 46.5 and 37. The last two games, 37 actual points the last game against Cleveland. So I think Kemba is in a nice spot here against the Bulls. The one bad thing is this is probably, you know, I love pace so much, and this is going to be one of the slowest pace games for Monday night. Now the Bulls are starting MCW. At least I think they're going to – yeah, I'm pretty sure they'll start MCW again over – Rondo, who might be waived on any day now. Maybe you can play. Maybe if you go to the Y, you can find Rondo, you know, in the next few days. But I think it's a good spot for Kemba. I mean, the one thing, when it comes to pace, I mean, pace are guys that I want to attack in all formats. But a nice way to differentiate your lineups, especially in like a single entry or a GPP, is to take a game where the pace is not great and put in a really good player. So Kemba, I think is in a good spot here. He could easily give me 40, 45 FanDuel points on Monday, and I think that's the game's going to stay close. It's in Chicago, so I mean, I like Kemba. I think he's actually safe. He's 2.3K less than John Wall, and so yeah. Quite honestly, I think he's safe for all formats. That's how much, even though they are the Charlotte Batums, I know it. They're Nick Batum's team. They're not Kemba's team anymore. But Kemba, he may be in the process of snatching that team back. And I will be playing a lot of Kemba. I think he's going to be super low owned and overlooked on the slate. Drew Holiday, 7.1K. Whatever. I just don't want to go there. I mean, he's been fine, 38 and 31 the last two, but he's going to every couple games he'll drop a 20 or a 25 dud in there. And I will always, you guys know me, I like to get my duos, my tag team duos. So I will have one lineup of Drew Holiday and Anthony Davis just to make sure I get some Holiday assists if Anthony Davis goes off for like 60 or 70 FanDuel points. But I mean, I just don't want to play a ton of Holiday when I can get all these other guards that I like better on Monday. And the other problem is, I think if I'm not going to go like a Westbrook or a Wall, or I guess Kemba would be, I like Kemba over a Holiday, then I'm going to go Value City for my other point guard, and you'll see why in a few minutes. Derrick Rose is next. A slow paced game against Orlando. I will only consider him if all those Knicks are out. Against Houston, because everyone in the free world was out, he actually put up 42 FanDuel points because it was literally him and Brandon Jennings just took turns shooting. It was sickening. It was revolting. It was nauseating. I mean, there was one possession I will never forget this until the day that I die. It may be the last thing I think about on my deathbed. Is there was a possession late in the fourth quarter when the game was still competitive, where Derrick Rose is dribbling the ball for no reason, like he always does, head down, not looking at anyone. He has that two or three Houston guys are basically surrounding him. He continues to dribble while my boy, Justin Holiday, is wide open for a three-pointer and screaming for the ball. Rose doesn't see. The shot clock's winding down. He finally throws Justin Holiday the ball like 10 seconds too late. It goes off Justin Holiday's head and it goes into the stands. Turnover and basically summed up the whole night. So I hate Derrick Rose, but if all the other Knicks are out, he's going to have a monster usage rate. He's going to have the ball in his hands all the time. He's going to take 20 plus shots. So he's going to be an under-owned, somewhat sneaky tournament play. And you can, he'll be relatively safe if all of the other guys are out. So you can use him in like a single entry tournament format. I still probably wouldn't want to go that route in cash, but quite honestly, you probably could if those guys, if Courtney Lee, Melo, and Porzingis are out. And really the only key guys are Melo and Porzingis, because Courtney Lee's not going to shoot the ball. He's like Otto Porter, the man without a usage rate. Alfred Payton, 5.9K. The only reason I would do this maybe as like a dart in a large tournament, only because no one will play him, especially, recency bias is a big thing. I mean, that's why Kawhi Leonard was, I think, 14% owned in the slam today, while Paul George, who's had a crappy year, was like 60%. People forget, really, like if someone's injured and out for like one game or has one bad game, like, man, people just forget really fast. People like flavors of the month, flavors of the week, flavors of the day. That's why it's called daily fantasy sports. So everyone will remember Peyton, having a horrendous Sunday night. That's why, I love to play guys who are coming off awful games in tournaments. Rondo, FanDuel, can we just move Rondo's name? Can we just out? I just don't want to even have to look at it. Emmanuel Mudiay. So he's 5K at Golden State. I will have one lineup in a tournament where I imagine in my head, let's say Denver keeps this game close. I mean, how would that happen? Mudiay is going to have to play well, right? And he's got an easy matchup because Steph Curry, I don't know what he's thinking about these days, but he stinks. I mean, and when I say he stinks, he doesn't stink in real life. In real life, he's still really good. I'm talking about DFS. Actually, I was getting a bunch of tweets lately about people who are like getting mad at me because I'm making fun of like their players on their teams. Like today, I think I said that Paul George is a guard, and I did like a garbage can emoji, and then someone started like yelling at me. Like the Pacers won, so I don't, you mean he can't be trash, or I don't even care if he's trash. I mean, they won. I'm like, look, I don't. What do I care if they won? How does that help me making? I'm just talking about DFS, man. He was trash. He got me only 28 FanDuel points. And yes, I know he got benched in the fourth quarter, but you don't get FanDuel points for being benched in the fourth quarter, do you? No. So yeah. So I wish more people understood that, man. When I say you suck, I just mean in DFS terms. It's not personal, not real life. Steph Curry is still very good at basketball. But Emmanuel Mudiay. So if Denver does keep this game close, it's going to be because guys like Mudiay, Wilson Chandler, Gallo, Will the thrill Barton or Gary Harris and our favorite player of all, Jokic, have really good nights? So in a tournament, you know, I wouldn't, you know, if I'm going to have to play, let's say, three Denver guys, let's say, I'd play Moutier, Jokic, and either Gallo or Chandler, one of those two. Austin Rivers, yeah, I mean, he's going to start. He's 4.4K. He's been really crappy the last two games, so that makes me want to play him a little bit in tournaments because I think everyone else is going to be on MCW. Everyone else is going to play Brogdon. No one's going to want to play Austin Rivers, but the Judge loves pace. The Clippers are going to be playing way up in pace against Phoenix, who I think is second in the league right now next to Brooklyn in pace. So that means more possessions for Austin Rivers to get turnovers, but potentially more possessions for Austin Rivers to get some fantasy goodness. And I think he's going to be a super low, like under 5% owned on this slate because of the next two guys. The first one is Brogdon, who is going to get, first of all, OKC's at Milwaukee, so he gets Russell Westbrook defense. And when you look at defensive versus position, OKC gives up. Where are you, OKC? They get better now? This can't be right. They only give up like the 10th most fandom points to point guards? That must be wrong. Unless Westbrook got better defensively lately. But Westbrook plays zero defense whatsoever. So Brogdon is in such a good spot. Like, I have no issues if you want to go with a Westbrook-Brogdon as your two cash game point guards. They both are super safe, a nice over-under game. The game should be close, and Westbrook plays on defense. So Brogdon is an excellent play. He had a triple-double over the weekend. He's coming off of 43 FanDuel points. I mean, that's absurd. And Milwaukee doesn't really even have like a backup point guard, so he's locked into a ton of minutes. Michael Carter-Williams is 4.1K. I mean, so he started over Rondo and played 25 minutes and got 17 FanDuel points. The problem with the Bulls, one, they have other guys they can go to. They can go to Jerry and Grant, who's decent. They also can go to Isaiah Cannon, and they also can, you know, late in the fourth quarter or anytime they want during the game, they can just have Wade and Butler handle the ball and use a guy like Doug McDermott or Mirotić to spread space the floor, and they don't really need a true point guard. So that's why MCW, he could get, I mean, I think the floor is around 24 minutes, and I think at most he could get maybe 36, but, you know, I'm not sure. I mean, I think that's why I like Brogdon is a much safer cash game play. If you want to use MCW in a tournament or even like a single entry to differentiate from Brogdon, that's fine. I think he does have a decent ceiling, but the problem is the floor is just not super safe, and it could be a trap door on Monday. Brandon Jennings is another guy, 4K. If Carmelo and Porzingis are out, he had 49 FanDuel points against Houston. I mean, dear, 32 actual points, 5 rebounds, 7 assists. I'm telling you, every time down the court, it was either Jennings coming down, jacking up a 3, or Rose coming down and taking a horrendous contested jumper. So if those Knicks got, and if the, you know, Carmelo and Porzingis are out, and I guess Lee to a lesser extent, Jennings is also a decent play as well. If I had to rank those three, I would rank them, if the Knicks guys are out, I'd rank them Brogdon, Jennings, MCW. And then Shelvin Mack, 3.8K against Brooklyn in tournaments, I would do it. Man, there's a lot of plays. Jesus, point guard is loaded. I'm drinking my smoothie. And also today, when they delivered the smoothie, they did not give me a straw. So drinking a smoothie without a straw, it totally diminishes the experience. I mean, talk about a dream killer. No straw, that's a dream killer. All right, James Harden, 11.3K. First, Washington. Beal playing or not playing, I don't think impacts me at all. I think he's obviously an elite play. All formats, coming off an 89 FanDuel point night. I think he had over 100 DraftKings points if you're playing him on DraftKings. I mean, he was incredible. It was absurd to watch that game. Only thing that's ridiculous is that he gets so many foul calls that are he jumps into people. I mean, I don't know like if he pays the refs or what's going on there. Like, why do the refs fall for that every freaking time? I mean, I think he got Justin Holiday to follow him on 3 3-pointers, and none of them were fouls. I mean, they were flops. I mean, Harden's flailing into Justin Holiday, and he got the call every single time. But he did play phenomenal. So fine for all formats. Giannis is 10.2. Fine for all formats. If I had to rank them, I do rank Harden. You know, I rank them Westbrook 1, Harden 2, Giannis 3. Those three. But look, you can't go wrong playing any of them. I don't know who will guard Giannis for Oklahoma City. Oladipo is back now, so I mean, I guess they would use Oladipo. I don't know if he's big enough though. So I guess Cephalosha as well, but I don't think that's really going to matter too much. I mean, Giannis is. I mean, I'm not lying when I say he made Jimmy Butler look like a junior varsity player. I mean, shooting guard is phenomenal on Monday, because then if you can't afford Harden and Giannis, you got Nicholas Batum of the Charlotte Batums at 8K, who's still playing at a phenomenal level. I mean, for him, he had like an off night of 34 Fanduel points against Cleveland. But before that, 49, 42, 43, 50, and 42. So I think, he's in another decent spot. I mean, like I said, the problem with this Charlotte-Chicago game is pace. It is the slowest, one of the lowest over-unders on the board right now. So, you know, and obviously Harden and Giannis are better plays than Batum. But if you don't have the money for those two, I think Batum is fine for all formats right now. He's so locked in. And he's not a one-trick pony. He fills up the entire stat sheet. Dwayne Wade, he's okay. He has not looked good lately. The Bulls still are really struggling right now. They could use him to help Butler out and him to have a really good game. I do like the fact that Rondo was out, because he does get more touches now. And if he does get it going, he will get a lot of minutes at basically playing point guard in the fourth quarter and have the ball in his hands a lot. He could give you a 40 Fanduel point night here, and he'll be super low owned, but I probably only like him for tournaments. Klay Thompson, tournaments only. Oladipo's, I think he was close to 7K when he was before he was, man, he's been out like almost an entire month. He was starting to play pretty well before he came down with that wrist injury. In his first game back, 21 Fanduel points. I think it's an okay matchup here against Milwaukee, but you know, I think there's other guys I'd prefer to play right now. He'll probably still be underowned. People probably forgot how good he was starting to play a little bit, but yeah, I mean, I'm you know, probably tournaments only right now for me. Devin Booker, 5.9K, 30 and 34 Fanduel points. I mean, Booker will never be a cash game play for me. He could be a single entry tournament player if you want. I mean, the one thing right now about Devin Booker, man, sorry, I had to, the bailiff was engaging in some bad behavior. I had to go get him down. So Devin Booker, I don't play him in cash, but if you want, I mean, you could use him in a single entry tournament, because the one thing that I do like are the minutes right now, 36 and 38, the last two games. And he had 30 Fanduel point net against Utah. So, I mean, he's capable of giving you a 40 or 45 Fanduel point night. The usage rate is really nice. The shots are there. The minutes are there. Problem is, he's a one trick pony and he's got to make the shots. But the Clippers stink right now. I mean, who's going to be guarding him? JJ Redick? I mean, so he's fine. He'll be sneaky. He'll be under-owned. And I like the play. I'm going to use him. I just don't know what format yet. Eric Gordon's 5.6K. He may be one of the most underrated, safest plays in DFS. If you look at you can just look at the game log and notice that. He hasn't had under 20 Fanduel points in – since November 25th. I'm not lying. That's the Eric Gordon. So, I mean, safe for all formats, and you can use the judge's super special technique of going Harden and Gordon as your two shooting guards. The only reason why I do prefer to go, if you're gonna team up Harden, and if you're playing, like, if you use Harden, you almost have to use, in my opinion, a guy like a Ryan Anderson, a Ariza, or you got to get, you know, or even if you want to use the Montrezl Harrell at center, because Harden's going to get so many assists, you might as well, you know, get some extra bonus points when someone else for Houston scores and get the Harden assists as well. The one thing with Gordon, he doesn't get a ton of a lot of his baskets aren't on Harden assists, because when Harden goes out of the game, that's when Eric Gordon does a lot of his shooting. I mean, Gordon and Harden still play a lot together, but I mean, watch, the second Harden goes out, Eric Gordon jacks up the shots every time down the court. So pairing those two together, it's not the best play in the world, but you still can do it. I mean, Gordon, just super safe, and I do like the ceiling. He does have 40 FanDuel point ceiling. Tyreek Evans, no thank you. Will to throw Barton. You can do it in a tournament if you think somehow Denver keeps that game close. And also, I mean, this is what you got to ask yourself for Denver. If Golden State does blow them out, which they absolutely should, does Will to throw Barton get blowout minutes? And that's I need to look further into it. I'm not sure if he would get those or not. If he would, because Gary Harris won't get those. So if Will Barton gets the blowout minutes, then we're talking he could put up a monster night, and then maybe I'd consider playing him in some more formats. But as of right now, no thank you. Ronnie Hood's 4.7K. If there's a guy from Utah that you can probably play and feel pretty good about it, even though he's only given you 18 and 22 the last two games, man, before that he was god-awful dealing with whatever illness he had. 4.7K, that's really cheap. I'm going to be using him. I mean, Brooklyn's dead last and guarding every position. So I think Hood's fine. And it's hard to roster him in cash just because what he's done to us this year. But against Brooklyn in that game, he should be fine in all formats. And Gary Harris, I mean, man, 4.7K, even if Golden State does blow out Denver, how could he not give you 20 FanDuel points in a game with a 227 over-under? So, yeah, I mean, if single entry tournaments, I may play a little Gary Harris or Rodney Hood. But for cash, I'm not sure if I'd do it for cash. Maybe. Other than that, under 5K, Jamal Crawford, it's okay. Reddick's okay. Brandon Knight. God, Brandon Knight's only 4.1K. Wow, eight and 9 minutes the last two games for Brandon Knight? What the hell is going on there? So I guess we can't play Brandon Knight. Justin Holiday and Jody Meeks are both 4K. I like both these guys. Jody Meeks even though he didn't play great on Sunday night, he played 30 minutes against Indiana. So if you tell me Jody Meeks gets 30 minutes on Monday, I think he's safe for cash games. He only got, like I said, 16.6 FanDuel points, but 30 minutes – he's got to stumble his way into 20. Maybe you don't want to do it for cash on because there's so many good plays on the slate. But I'm fine with Jody Meeks on Monday. And I love Justin Holiday. If Courtney Lee, Melo, and Porzingis are out, I absolutely will play Holiday. And just if Courtney Lee is out, I still will have a lot of Holiday in single entry tournaments and in tournaments. And then Jeremy Lamb, I think he's in play as well. He's 3.8K. As long as Marco Bellinelli is out, Lamb is going to play 20 to 24 minutes. He gets a lot of shots. Occasionally, he's been rebounding the ball really well this year. I think he's going to find a way to get to 20 FanDuel points, and he'll be super low owned on Monday. All right, small forward. I got to pick up the pace. God, I need to buy some straws because I cannot have this happen again. You cannot drink a smoothie without a straw. It's impossible. It's so thick and disgusting. All right, Kevin Durant, tournaments only. LeBron, 9.9K. So LeBron's price has come down. I mean, LeBron's so much cheaper. Well, not so much, but he's cheap, compared to Westbrook and Harden, he is, and Anthony Davis, he is. He's also cheaper than Giannis. Last two games have been 54 and 49 FanDuel points. If Kyrie is out, I mean – I guess you do worry about a blowout here. I mean, there's no line yet in over under, so we don't know what that is. In theory, could Cleveland blow the Pelicans out? Yeah, I mean, should they? Yeah. The Pelicans give up like the fifth, sixth most FanDuel points to small forwards. LeBron is super safe. obviously, I think a much better cash play than Durant. The question is, are you going to have the money? And if you're you know, paying up for a Westbrook or a Harden, even a Giannis, will you have the money to do it? But man, 9.9K. I'm going to try to find, if Kyrie's out, I will absolutely find a way to get him in my cash games. I don't know how, but I'll find a way. If Kyrie plays, then I'll use him in tournaments a little bit. I mean, I don't know if I'll use him in cash or not. But I mean, you still, any day you always can play LeBron in cash. But it's just hold on. I hate as I'm doing, like, so right now, as I'm doing the show, I'm getting tweets, and like the tweets, they pop up on my screen, even though I don't even have Twitter open. I'm like, why does that happen? Man, you need like a 24/7 IT person staying with me. So LeBron's fine. Jimmy Butler, 8.3K. I think he, you know, he's, the fact that Rondo is out, I think helps him as well. He's coming off a nice game against Milwaukee at 48 FanDuel points. 48, 36, 64 the last two. I'll get some MKG defense, but that doesn't really worry me too much. I think on this slate, because of all the superstars, it's going to be a lot of stars and scrubs in your lineups. So I think one nice approach would be just to use a lineup with all these mid-tier guys who are really good players, like a Batum, like a Butler, you know, and, you know, I guess, Kemba Walker, or even a John Wall, that he's so much cheaper than Westbrook, you know, and that way you don't have to be worried about playing so many bums in your lineup. Cause if you try to get all these stars in, you're going to end up with a lot of Tim Hardaway Juniors, and guys like that who are going to make you sick. So, I mean, guys who are in this mid-range or kind of second tier price range, I mean, I like for Monday, cause I think they're going to be low owned. And look, I mean, why couldn't Jimmy Butler, you know, give you the same amount of FanDuel points as LeBron and Durant? I mean, he could. So I think it's a nice kind of nice pivot to differentiate your lineups. Same with Gordon Hayward. I guess I prefer Gordon Hayward to Butler because he's $600 cheaper and he's going up against Brooklyn, who is basically dead last, you know, guarding every position. And Hayward's been super consistent. I mean, you can basically, it's hard to envision him not getting 40 FanDuel points on Monday. The only one problem or caveat I would say is now almost everyone from Utah is getting healthier. Although I guess George Hill and Dante Exum are still out, but Derek Favors seems to be getting some more minutes. And will that hurt Gordon Hayward a little bit? I think so. But against Brooklyn, I think Hayward's safe for all formats on Monday. Gallinari. Yeah, I mean, I think you can do Gallinari and Chandler in tournaments. You know, if you think that game stays close, and if it does stay close, maybe it's because Gallinari and Chandler both go off, and then you can do the judge's secret move and play Gallo and Chandler as your two small forwards. Otto Porter is 5.8K. If Bradley Beal is out, then I will play me some Porter. If Bradley Beal is in, I'm not playing the man without a usage rate on this much of a sexy slate when Porter's almost 6K. I'm just not going to do it. Trevor Ariza, yeah, I mean, he gets so many minutes, 39 and 37 minutes the last two games, 32 and 36 FanDuel points. Man, there's so many times where I'm telling you, Harden, dribble, 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 pass Ariza three-pointer, pass Ryan Anderson three-pointer. So, yeah, I mean, I love the Harden Ariza tag team. I think Ariza is fine. I probably wouldn't do any cash. I probably would keep it to a single entry or a tournament. But fine. I'm fine with that play. TJ Warren, similar to Booker. I don't know why he only got 19 minutes last game against Utah. So that's a little concerning. So now maybe I do it in tournaments only. But he does have the upside. He can give you a 40 FanDuel point night. I'm gonna look at the news and see why the hell they only got 19 minutes. I think they did get blown out by Utah. But if Warren can get 35 minutes, he could give you a 40 FanDuel point night. So nice tournament play. You know, he'll be low owned. MKG, 4.7K. I've been using him, you know, a lot because he's locked into a ton of minutes right now. 35, 33, 30, 35, 33. The last five games or so, 23-17, 28-31, 36. I mean, he's basically Otto Porter. I mean, they're – and he's Justice Winslow. They're all kind of the same guys. They're nice defenders. They can't shoot at all. They don't have a high usage rate at all. They go 6, 7, 8 possessions without touching the ball. So, but MKG is 1.1K less than Otto Porter. So, I prefer to play MKG over Otto, unless Beal is out. Ronnie Hollis Jefferson, not against Utah. I don't think I want to go there. Unless, if he's starting, maybe in the 1 out of 10 lineups. Aaron Gordon's 4.1K against the Knicks. He had 24 FanDuel points on Monday. It's just, you can't feel good about it. So tournaments only for me. Other than that, that's about as low as I'm going to go. I don't think I'm ready to unleash Sam Decker yet. Even though I want to start playing Decker, man, but he's just not getting the minutes yet. I mean, Mike D'Antoni, he's becoming like Tom Thibodeau. He's playing his starters big minutes. I mean, all you know, starters and Eric Gordon. He runs a tight rotation. That's why I'm starting to really like playing Houston guys. You know, similar to the Minnesota guys. All right, par forward. Anthony Davis. So his price has dropped down a little bit too, because the Tin Man is coming off a stretch of somewhat mediocre games for him, 47 and 38 the last two. On a slate like this, you can't pick the wrong superstar. So he's got to give me, even though he's only 10.8K now, he still has to give me, I don't know, like what? I'd say almost 55, 60 to feel good about it. I mean, I cannot use him in cash. Even single entry, I don't want to do it, but you could. Tournaments, though, absolutely. Tournaments, yeah, I mean, I'll have one or two, probably just one, Drew Holiday, Anthony Davis lineup. And where's Cleveland? I mean, Cleveland defends the power forward position surprisingly well this year. I'm not sure why that is. But he's still, yeah, whatever. It's the Tin Man. He could explode for 70, 80 FanDuel points. It's just on this night, I prefer a guy like Westbrook. I prefer Harden. I prefer Giannis. I'd even prefer Wall if Beverly is out. And I prefer LeBron before I would get to Anthony Davis. Kevin Love. If Kyrie is out, Kevin Love is a lock and load for my cash games for sure. Speaking of the Pelicans and their give up the fifth or sixth most fantasy points to opposing power forwards. Kevin Love sees a massive usage spike when Kyrie goes out. I don't see how he doesn't give you 40, close around 40 if there's no Kyrie. And that's the kind of safety I want on Monday at that spot. Draymond Green, tournaments only. Jokic, it's a shame, but I mean I'll enjoy watching until it's a blowout. Jokic go up against Draymond Green. And I think it will be somewhat interesting to see how Draymond Green tries to frustrate him. But as much as I'd like to play Jokic at that salary, I'm not going to have a lot of exposure on Monday night. He's been really good. I mean, even when he gets in foul trouble and only plays 22 minutes like he did against Philly, he still had 37 FanDuel points. I mean, he gives you like a 1.5 fantasy points per minute. He's been a monster this year if he can stay on the court. You know, I'll have one lineup where I definitely will have, you know, maybe a Moutier, Gallo, Jokic lineup, and then play a couple Golden State guys too in case it does stay close. But for the most part, I'm not going to play him too much. Jabari Parker, 7.1K. He's been really good, man. He's been consistent, 30, 40, 34, 53 FanDuel points the last three. The usage rate is on the way up. I mean, it's really just him and Giannis taking turns down the court right now. And it's a lot of times down in the fourth quarter when the Bucks need a basket, they go to Parker. I mean, sometimes he's like their number one option in terms of getting a basket. He's just so skilled offensively. He's fine. He's pricey. I mean, I don't have the money to spend for him in cash because I'm trying to get Westbrook right now. And I do have Kevin Love right now, so I can't use Parker, but he's fine. Ibaka, 6.8K. Man, that's – wow, he's really come up in price. He's been good 32, 38, 27, 48, 36, 37. But on this slate, wow, who's going to guard him on the Knicks? If all those Knicks guys are out, I mean, Lance Thomas? He's not even on the Knicks anymore. I don't even know. I have no idea who the hell is going to guard Ibaka. I mean, one of those. The Knicks have like seven foreign guys who played last game. I was like, who are these guys? Couldn't pronounce any of their names. Whatever. I will not be playing a lot of Ibaka. He'll be low owned. And if all the Knicks guys are hurt, Ibaka, why can't he give you 35, 40 fantasy points? I guess he could. Maybe I'll play him in one lineup if Porzingis is out. Ryan Anderson, 5.4K. So his price came down a bit. It's so weird, man. He had a 9 fandom point night. But then he had 38 fandom point night. But he was close to 6K, and now it's 5.4K. I'm not sure why the hell the price went down, but I'd like to take advantage of it, and I would love to play me some Harden-Ryan Anderson lineup. If you played Harden and Ryan Anderson on Saturday night, they give you a combined 120 fandom points. Now, granted, they give you almost 130 fandom points. Now, 90 of that was Harden, but I mean, 38 was Ryan Anderson, man. He's going to take 7-8 three-pointers on Monday. So I think he's fine for tournaments, and you can do it in single entry as well. Enes Kanter, 5.4K. So, I mean, I was a little worried with Oladipo back that Kanter's minutes and production would come down, but then against the Clippers, he put up 35 fandom points, and I faded him completely. So it doesn't seem like it's going to be that much of a concern, although Oladipo didn't get his full allotment of minutes in his first game back. So you can attack the Bucks bigs. He should, in theory, Jabari Parker will be on him. If you've seen Jabari Parker play, he stinks defensively. He's almost like a shooting guard. He doesn't want to get a rebound. I think when Kanter comes in the game, he should be able to bully the hell out of any of the Bucks bigs. So he's an intriguing, sneaky play, I think, for single entry tournaments and just large GPPs as well. Markieff Morris is 5.2K. Yeah. I mean, if Bradley Beal is out, maybe I'll play him in like 1 out of 10 lineups, but I won't have a ton of exposure. Under 5K, Derek Favors. So I've been starting to play him a little bit each night, and he's getting a little bit better each game. 24 minutes last game and 23 fandom points. At that price, that's basically paying off his salary, and now he gets the best matchup in the universe against Brooklyn. So in 24 minutes, why can't he give me 30, 35 fandom points? I'm totally fine with him in all formats. I mean, I don't know what the ceiling is. If he's capped at 24 minutes, is the ceiling going to be high enough? But the price is so low against Brooklyn. I think we should try to take advantage of it in a couple lineups. Other than that, wow, Taj Gibson and Nikola Mirotic are both dirt cheap. Gibson especially is 4.6K. Man, he was a solid cash game play to start the year. In the last few games, he's tailed off 21, 20, 19, 12, 22. The big reason for that is the Bulls, they're trying all kinds of different rotations because nothing is working, and they're trying to spread the floor. As you guys know, if you watch Taj Gibson play, he's very limited offensively, can't shoot farther than 8 feet from the hoop. So they've been playing guys like Mirotic, who's 4.4K, some more minutes. Even the last game, he only got 22. I didn't mention my sneaky ninja, Doug McDermott, at small forward. What is his price now? 3.6K. Sneaky ninja. I called it a couple days ago, and he got 21 fandom points in 29 minutes against the Bucks. I think he's a sneaky ninja again on Monday night. The problem is on this slate, it's such a juicy slate with so many good players. I don't think you need to play McDermott on Monday. But if you're in a large GPP, you still can do it. Back to Mirotic, though. I think Mirotic is kind of a similar spot. You don't have to do it on Monday, but I think he's a tournament guy. Gibson is probably going to get you 20 fandom points. Mirotic could get you 10, but he also could get you 30, 35 fandom points. Other than that, that's about as low as I want to go at power forward, I think. Center, so I'm just going to say, center is not that great on Monday. I mean, you have no None of the, you know, there's no Cousins. There's no – Cousins is the one superstar who's not playing. You have no Cousins. You have no Whiteside, even though he's not a superstar. And you have no Karl-Anthony Towns. So top center is Rudy Gobert, 7.7K. I think if you have the money, you can do it in cash and feel really good about it. Against Phoenix, I played him a lot. I played him in cash, I think, against Phoenix the last game. He had 38 FanDuel points. The problem is going to be, do you have the salary to spend up on him? I think it's just hard for him because I think he's going to get you a double-double, and he'll probably end up around between 30 and 40 FanDuel points. But is he going to get you the 50, the 60 FanDuel points that you know, truly crush value? I'm not sure just because he has no offensive game at all. He's relying on all defensive stats. So it's all defensive rebounds and blocks, basically, and with some putback dunks. DeAndre Jordan, you know, another guy. I mean, I wish Chris Paul was playing. Then I think he would be an elite play on Monday. But he's also safe. I think he's going to get you. He's similar to Gobert, relying on all defensive stats. I think Gobert is a probably better play against Brooklyn. But I think if you want to differentiate your lineups a little bit, Jordan should be fine. He should somehow find a way to get 30, 35 FanDuel points in a really high, fast-paced game. That means more rebounds, more possessions, more rebounds for DeAndre Jordan. I mean, then again, same with Gobert. Yeah, playing Utah playing way up in pace against Brooklyn, and the Clippers playing way up in pace against Phoenix. So I like both those centers a lot. Brook Lopez, I'm not going to play him going up against Gobert. Vucevic, I mean, on paper, I mean, the Knicks have Joakim Noah and seven foreigners at center if Kylo Quinn's out. I mean, Vucevic had 38 FanDuel points on Monday. I don't know if anyone played him. I didn't. He just, like, under the radar, keeps putting up like 35, 40 FanDuel point nights. So super sneaky play. You can do it. Gortat, 6.6K. Man, he's getting expensive. 37, 38 the last two. I think he's in another good spot as well. You know, a fast-paced game for Washington playing up in pace. Man, so maybe center is a little better than I thought, even though there's just no stars playing. I think Gortat's relatively safe too. And I think Beal being out helps Gortat as well, because the more if Beal is out, it just means more pick and rolls with John Wall and Gortat. So Gortat's in a good spot here as well. Steven Adams, 5.4K. He's not as safe as the other guys, but that's why he's, you know, like 1.2K cheaper than Gortat. So I still think you can play him in cash if you don't have the money to get a Gortat or a guy like DeAndre Jordan or Rudy Gobert. However, and the Bucks' bigs stink. I mean, John Henson and Greg Monroe. So I think Steven Adams is in a decent spot. The problem is I'd prefer, and I'm not even going to mention, I'll mention Cody Zeller real quickly. Cody Zeller, there, I mentioned him. Tristan Thompson, I mentioned him too. You want to play those two. They'll probably find a way to stumble, bumble, and crumble their way into 20 FanDuel points, and you'll pull out your hair, and they'll have two FanDuel points end of the first quarter, six at the half, 13 at the end of the three quarters, and somehow they'll barely get you 19-20. Montrezl Harrell, though, I think I'd prefer to play him in cash if I'm not going to spend up on a guy like Gobert or Jordan. I mean, he's just – right now, he's just super safe. He's 4.6K, but he's getting over 30 minutes a night for that Houston team playing way up in pace. He meshes really well with Harden. He gets a lot of easy putbacks, a lot of alley-oops. Quite honestly, he's not even rebounding the ball that well. I mean, look at his rebounds. He's like Brook Lopez, 4-3-2-3, 8-3-5 the last, you know, 6-7 games or whatever. He actually had four assists last game, which was surprising. But I think he's relatively safe. And if you want to punt center, you can do it with Harrell. You also can, quite honestly, I'm not going to say this often, but Joakim Noah has looked pretty good the last few games. 39-10, that game was not great. 43-25. So while I still would not want to use Noah in cash because you never know when he's going to get 16 minutes out of the blue, I think he's becoming a sneaky play now for single entry tournaments and for tournaments as well. And then Robin Lopez, 4.4K. It's hard to trust, but that's so dirt cheap. Charlotte cannot defend the center position at all. So, I mean, he's got over 30 minutes through three of our last four games. If he gets 30 minutes, he's going to get you 25 Fando points. At that price, man, like, it's a nice way to differentiate your lineups. Everyone's going to be playing Harrell. Harrell's not that good. It's just, you know, I love pace. And, I mean, think about the difference in pace between Washington, Houston versus Charlotte, Chicago. So many more possessions for Harrell to get fantasy points. But a nice way to differentiate your lineups if you want to, you know, in a single entry tournament or, you know, a large GPP, you can play Robin Lopez. Man, he's dirt cheap. He was close to 6K at one point. All right, that's it. That's the slate. Man, this phenomenal. There's so many good plays. It's going to be super fascinating because I cannot wait to see all the different lineups that we have going in Chambers and just in general for Monday night, just to see, you know, how to fit your superstars. I mean, if you want to go two superstars and a bunch of scrubs, do you want to go just kind of all mid-tier, just really good Jimmy Butler type players? It's going to be really interesting night. So let's all have fun with it. Other than that, if you would like to tweet at me at Daniel A. Green 1, if you want a spot in Chambers or you have a question in general or you want a consultation, make sure you download the app Draft and use the promo code DFBPOD. Man, I'm losing my voice. I need a straw for my smoothie. It's 5 in the morning. We got to get to bed. Where's my gavel? All right, guys. Hope you made some money on Sunday. Again, Happy New Year. Let's start the 2017 off right. Let's achieve some glory on Monday night. Court is adjourned.